from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day. That means it's Wednesday at noon, halfway to the weekend.
Yeah, man.
Congratulations. It's all downhill from here. The weekend's right around the corner. Falcons have a preseason game on Saturday.
They do.
As well.
At noon.
Midday preseason game. You were saying usually you guys are playing in the evening.
Never ever play a daytime preseason game.
Interesting. But that's good, though, if you're, again, sort of getting that muscle memory of getting ready for the season.
Right.
Most of the games they're playing, especially home games, are 1 o'clock games.
Right.
So you can sort of get ready in that way. Kevin King from the Falcons is going to join us here in just a couple of minutes, a guy who's competing for a job in the secondary, had an interception in the first preseason game, hadn't played in the league in a couple of years. Interesting story. And, if he does make the team and contribute, really good story.
Yeah, man. And today was that day, that training camp day right now. This longest practice they had of the year.
Okay.
Running some wind sprints afterwards. I just went out there, saw the offensive line doing some extra work and everything with their coach. So, yeah. It was eventually Robinson like, okay.
All right, enough.
No, all right, it was good. Country club. Let's go on and rip this thing.
I'm friendly. Yeah. I'm fun. Yeah. We're having a good time. Yeah. You guys aren't doing enough.
Yeah.
Let's get a little extra work
that's
in
exactly
afterwards.
What it was.
It's also really hot today.
It's warm out there, though. It's warm out there, though, but yeah, that's what that was. Like, all right, let's get after today.
I like that.
More likely.
I like, because I don't have to do it.
Yeah.
So I like that.
Probably going to get after it tomorrow
before
they go up to Baltimore to take on the Ravens. But yeah, it's a great story if it comes. It's a great story to back. I'm talking about Kevin to be back anyways.
Yeah,
But I mean, because you want to talk about adversity, because that's a lonely time.
Yeah. So just to refresh, because again, I mean, we'll ask him about it, and I don't know how much he wants to talk about it. Maybe he'll tell the story in depth. Maybe he won't. But former Green Bay Packers, second round pick, first pick of the second round, had a really nice start to his career in Green Bay. Actually got Kirk Cousins a couple years ago because they played quite a bit in that division, obviously. Had a rough one in the NFC Championship game against Tampa.
He did.
People probably remember that one. And then the next year was kind of banged up. And he was hurt a lot in his career. Kind of ended seasons, most seasons, banged up. And then was a lot of rehab to get back and all that. It seemed like it caught up with him. Took the year off in 22 to try to really get healthy.
Right.
As he was ramping things up at the beginning of 23 to make a push to make a team, it ruptures his Achilles.
Right.
So that makes it 2 straight years that you're out of football. It's tough to come back.
Yeah, man. Like, yeah, man.
You're out of football for 2 years. Not a lot of people come back.
Shock just texted me. Oh, the Orioles have a game that night. That's why they're playing early.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they have a game that night. Remember that happened when they the year after they won the Super Bowl? Remember they had to play on the road against Denver? The year they won Super Bowl, and because of something happened with the Orioles or some crap, they went change their date or some crap. And that's
at
why,
least the Orioles are good this year.
Yeah,
and at least it's a preseason game.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. That's why they had to play in Denver the year after they won the Super Bowl.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken,
okay.
I remember they were the team that didn't get to play that Thursday night game. They had to play on the road in Denver, if I'm not mistaken.
That's
I'm not mistaken. But,
the greedy-ass Orioles.
Greedy-ass Orioles.
Everybody's always said that about them.
Yeah, they stink too, man.
Not now.
No, no,
they're good now.
They did it. They did it well.
Yeah,
they built the team.
Yeah,
the right way.
They tanked correctly.
Yes,
which teams?
And they got them studs.
The baseball tank seems to be really effective. Like when teams do that in baseball,
right.
they tend to, like, the Braves did it. Yep. Obviously, the Astros did it. The Orioles did it. Teams that do it in baseball tend to bounce back and have success. The NBA tank.
It does. It don't work, man.
It's a coin flip.
I'm just telling you,
doesn't always work.
And then, at least when you tank, you live in Atlanta.
That's true.
Have you been to Baltimore?
I have been to Baltimore.
Ain't nothing good in Baltimore but crab cakes and Norma Jeans. All right?
And Camden Yards is a nice ballpark.
Back in them days, ain't nothing good in Baltimore except for crab cakes and Norma Jeans. And Norma Jeans, they had good crab cakes and other cakes. You know, so that was the best part about going to Baltimore, all right?
All right. Well, I'll take your word for it. I went to Camden Yards, and it was the first time I saw a rain delay. So, like, a slightly different experience. It's always funny when we tell stories about going to cities for the first time. We just do slightly different things in the city. Anyway, Kevin King sitting down with us right now, fresh off the practice field. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
Doing very well. Thank you for the time.
Appreciate you, man. And we're talking about your journey and everything. Obviously, we wanted to know about it, but the journey to get to where you were. I know it was a preseason game and whatever, but mm-hmm. for you, what did it mean for you to go out there? All the stuff you went through previous 2 years to get to that moment.
Yeah, looking back on it, it definitely was a lot, you know. But I was built for it, you know. I feel like going into it, I knew that this was something that I was going to come through another side of. It was something that I made a promise to myself, made a promise to my family. And sometimes it's kind of hard to block those outside noises, you know what I mean? Because, you know, people, I didn't really explain myself to a lot of people. Even when I decided to take the initial year off, I really, you know, didn't tell many people about what I was doing. I sent my family down and my agent down and told them, you know, explicitly what I was doing. So it was a lot of, you know, unknown kind of left in the air. And, you know, you just hear a lot of stuff like, oh, did he get cut? Or, you know, he can't get back in.
Right.
You know, like, oh, how's it going to be getting back in type of thing? You still playing? Or, you know, what you doing now? What you doing? So that was a challenge for me, is, you know, just trying to, you know, kind of tunnel vision, stay the course with things. But, you know, I had a great support system, you know, kept my head down, knew what I wanted to accomplish, and, you know, came out on the other side a better football player and a, you know, better human being.
Why did you make that choice?
God put it on my heart. You know, God put it on my heart. It was I played 5 years for the Packers, and through those 5 years, each year I had gotten hurt. Like my off seasons were just, you know, my first 2 years I ended on IR. Then my next year I had my, you know, so I had three labrum surgeries on my shoulders. I had both sides of my groins done. And then my last year, I was just getting hurt on kind of like fluke stuff. You know, it was, you know, kind of game time decision after game time decision. It was kind of real tough on my mental. And that was just something that after my fifth year, I was pretty healthy. I was a free agent. And I told myself, like, the type of person, the type of athlete I am, I know I could play in this league until I don't want to anymore.
Right.
You know, and that's just, everybody has their own, you know, reality of things. But with me, that's the reality that, you know, God has given me. And so I knew that if I wanted to play another, you know, 5 to 10 years in this league, that I had to get my body right and I had to get my mind right. So after that year, I was a free agent. I said, okay, I want to take this time off to really have a year to actually make those gains, get better, get smarter, you know, get, you know, my body right to that college type of shape. I hadn't, like I said, every year, I would just rehab just enough to go back and then, you know, go under the needle again,
right,
type of thing. And that was just a pattern that it was. So I decided to get my body right, did that. And then God told me that it wasn't time just yet, you know. And then I had my Achilles. And then so I had to get through that. You know, it was kind of thing of, you know, how far are you willing to sprint when you don't know the destination.
Right.
So, I'm in it.
What? And we talk about this a lot. And I've been through with that, some similar to that, the loneliness of that, because you talk about your support system, but yet it's you
mm-hmm.
that's going through all that. What about that journey after you say you took that year off and then you're revving back up, getting ready, and then another, you know, unfortunate thing happens to you? How was that time different from the time you took off? Outside the painful part of rehabbing an Achilles.
Right,
on your mental side.
man, I think it kind of went hand in hand. You know, I think it wasn't really kind of a compound thing. I think that me taking that time off got me ready to go for that next year mentally. When I was taking that time off, I did a lot of course, you know, searching and stuff for my body, but also, you know, with my mind and just my journey, you know what I mean? As, you know, I'm 29 right now, so I feel like kind of that, you know, you hit 25 and everything kind of changes, and you know, in your head and you know, kind of what you think about the world and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, COVID was, you know, a lonely time. And so I had a lot of time by myself to kind of think about, you know, really just everything, you know, what I kind of thought about things and kind of, you know, stuff like that. So that really kind of gave me a lot of perspective of things. And I told myself that, you know, I wasn't, when I came back, it wasn't really about the result. You know, I was the journey that I took, you know, it was me becoming a man, you know, me becoming a better in my body. And I knew that regardless of what the result is, that journey is still going,
right.
You know, so it wouldn't matter if, like I said, I come back and, you know, have a pick, do my thing, it's next day work, you know, it doesn't matter because, you know, the next game can be whatever. So I remember actually when I did it, when I tore my Achilles, I knew it instantly, you know, and I was just like, wow, like, all right, now let's see,
right.
You know, let's see. They always tell you that's kind of the kiss of death type of thing, but I don't really like to go into things with, you know, my own preconceived notions. So it's kind of like, all right, well, you know, let's see how this thing goes. So let's see what type of person I can come out, you know, on the end of that. So I'm proud of that too.
Yeah, no doubt. Kevin King joining us, Falcons cornerback. When's the last time you felt physically like you feel now?
Well, I'm a little sore.
Right? It is.
I don't mean post practice. You know what I mean? Big picture.
Yeah.
I know you guys are running a little extra after this, so I get it.
It's crazy. Today I seen something that said it was my first game in 30 months.
Crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, that is crazy to say and kind of read. And it, you know, it felt like that, you know, but I actually feel pretty good, you know, with everything considered, I feel good. And these are the moments that when I was off, you know, kind of like, man, like, be present, you know, it's so easy to, you know, oh, I'm sore, you know, I just played and, you know, and then come out here and kind of go through the motions with things, you know, but these are our times, you know, when we can fight the mind and, you know, get the body to do those things that it needs to do, you know, come the later on in the season.
How has it been being a Falcon and everything? Obviously, you said we all know your time at Green Bay and everything like that, but now you're Atlanta Falcon. How has this transition been playing here? What do you think of the system with Raheem, everybody that's around you?
Yeah, it's been great. This is it's definitely different from Green Bay just in terms of a city, you know. I mean, it is a little bit kind of out of the city. But just, you know, being around the city, being in a culture kind of thing, you could feel it. A lot more culture, well, different culture,
right.
You know. And it's kind of like it's different playing, you know, for a team like Green Bay and then playing for actual, like, big city type of feel, you know. Got a lot of family, you know, coming in and out and stuff. It's kind of easier to get to the airports and whatnot. but I like it. You know, I think it's a great thing for me to come in later on in my career. I think Green Bay was a great place to, you know, start your career off. Not too many, just you know, big on football, great winning culture type of thing. You know, learn how to bring those type of things to an organization like this. You know, so but I'm loving my time here.
When you have some, I would assume, comfortability with at least one of the coaches, Jimmy Lake. I know he was a part of the staff when you were at Washington. Is he part of the reason why you're – I don't know how the timeline all syncs up. Uh-huh. I don't know if you signed before he was hired or whatever, but is he part of the reason why you're here?
Yes and no. I feel like, you know, it was – the stars kind of aligned. You know, the stars kind of aligned. The Falcons were actually a team that I was talking to a little bit right before I tore my Achilles as well. You know, so it kind of overlapped in that sense. And there was a few teams that I, you know, had some workouts and stuff set up with and that I had some relationships with. You know, it was kind of about maybe three or four teams that, you know, I had my eyes set on when I was coming back. But definitely, you know, to have guys on the staff, Coach Gray, Coach Jerry Gray, as well as Coach Lake and Coach Hood. Coach Hood was a part of the staff at Green Bay as well. Mm-hmm. You know, so having a lot of guys who I trust and really, you know, can trust me and, you know what type of player I am and, you know, can really tap into my confidence, you know, and let me do that on the field. That's big.
How has it been playing in this system with Jimmy? You know, I mean, the system, we talked to Jesse, cover three is cover three. Man is man, two, all that other stuff. But how has it been for you adjusting or fitting yourself in to this scheme that they play here?
Yeah, no, it's a great scheme. You know, it's definitely a great scheme. I played in it somewhat, you know, a little bit in Green Bay and when I was at Washington. But just to see how, you know, it has grown since then. You know, it's a lot of new stuff, a lot of new wrinkles. And, you know, that's the big thing with coordinators. This is all, a chess game,
right?
You know, trying to – because like you said, cover three is cover three. So if they see us in that single high, you know, every defense has its beaters, you know. So
right.
It's up to us to kind of show them one thing, you know, and then, you know what they're trying to do and, you know, kind of just play off of it like that. So Jimmy has done a great job of evolving his system, doing things. Like I said, he's given us things I've never seen before, you know, and this is my eighth year playing. So, he's definitely, you know, come up to the times, but I think we got the personnel to do all type of things back there.
Kevin King joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. You played against Kirk Cousins for years in the division.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, got him a couple times.
Yeah, you're not mistaken.
Not good. Good. Glad the internet didn't lie to me. What can you tell Falcons fans about him as someone who played against him now that they're going to be rooting for him?
Yes. It's crazy because right when I seen, you know, that Kirk was going to the Falcons, I'm like, man, I like that. Kirk is a guy who, even playing against him, you know, he was dangerous. You know, he's a guy that's real smart. He's a guy that's going to know what's going on back there. And also, he's a guy that's not scared. You know, he's a guy that's going to put it out there, especially if he trusts his guys. I played, you know, against him, and, you know, to where he's going to his big guys, you know, and giving him a chance. And I love quarterbacks like that. You know, not everything is going to be, you know, drawn up or, you know, done the perfect way. You know, but if you got guys out there that can go get it, you know, sometimes you got to give those guys a chance. So, I think Kirk, especially with the pieces that we have around him, and especially the dominant defense that we're going to be, it sets up very well, in my opinion.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. But we appreciate you. My partner's a big alumni.
I don't want to make it all.
He had
about
to show
that.
You his dub and everything.
It's always
like that.
About that.
Of course, it's
always
all
about
right,
that.
Of course,
man. Hey, man, we appreciate
it.
We appreciate you, Kev, man. And,
thank you, guys.
Hey, man, you stay healthy, brother, man. And we are really hoping that everything works out for you.
We're rooting for you.
We are so rooting for you, brother.
I appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you guys for having me on.
Kevin King, there, Falcons corner, Husky legend. Nice enough to spend some time with us. I don't want to make the
good
whole
luck,
thing
brother.
About
good
that.
Luck, man.
But,
good luck, brother.
Yeah, man. Didn't know, like we said before he sat down, kind of prefaced the story a little bit. How much is he going to tell? Well, he told all of it.
Dude.
He told the whole story.
That was amazing.
That was great.
That was a great story. Great. Now, how many damn defensive backs does Washington have?
Oh, lots. DBU.
I mean, oh, hell.
DBU. Professional I am?
I love it.
I waited until the end of the thing.
You did.
Till we do the Husky stuff.
I love it.
All right?
Because I always start with the dog stuff.
I don't want to – because if I would have started with it, then we would have just broed out about like
– I always start – but no, you said DBU. We got Bo. Bo, LSU.
We're not
right?
actually DBU.
Okay,
we have a lot of guys
in the NFL.
We got
Carl out there, Texas. So
got a lot of guys in the NFL.
A lot of good damn DBs.
A lot of good DBs in the NFL.
Oh, God, and Abel here. Abe ain't said nothing about the Gators since 2020.
Since 2021.
All right, Abe ain't said nothing about no damn Gators. Now he want to talk about some. What about us?
Yeah. Now, Kevin King, interesting like overlap, too, because he was recruited by Sark.
Right.
Played for Chris Peterson. Jimmy Lake was his coach, his co-defensive coordinator. And then, obviously, he goes to the NFL. Jimmy Lake takes over. They reunite here.
Right.
I don't know. It's wild. I mean, everything like that is in college football now because there's so much turnover. But love the conversation. Rooting for him. Be very, very cool if he's on the final 53 when cuts are finally made. We'll come back. Grant McCauley is going to join us. We'll talk some Braves with him right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Hump Day, 20 minutes away from the back page with Bo. 12:20 on Wednesdays means Grant McCauley joins the show to talk Braves. He's our Braves insider, host of From the Diamond. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer from Mark Spain Real Estate at 855-299-SOLD. Grant, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great. And I was just thinking, you know, hearing that coming back from break, there have been a lot of challenging things that have gone on in the Braves season. But I think that this new theme song that we debuted back in April is not one of the challenges. I think it's a hit.
No, it makes me happy every Wednesday. Even some Wednesdays where it's like, all right, the Braves have lost 8 in a row. Is this rock bottom? We don't have to ask about rock bottom this week, which is fantastic.
No.
That was week's topic.
Yeah, and it's been a topic far too often, unfortunately, especially in the second half, where, and I know I've talked about this a lot with you guys, I've posted about it on social media. I mean, just when you think maybe you've seen the worst loss of the year, along comes another one that makes you have to shuffle the deck again and draw another card. And for the Braves, you know, it just continues to be this whole line of this team is more talented. Yeah, they've dealt with a lot of injuries, but there's been a ton of inconsistency. Can they put it all together here down the stretch? I think that becomes the question. There's nothing that they can do about the last, 115 or so games, but what can they do in the next 45 or 50 games that really will tell the tale of their entire season?
Grant, I mean, Michael obviously is a big boost coming back to play center field for your team. We know Soler, I mean, his offensively since he's been here has been outstanding. How do they balance out the other guy, though? Because, I mean, Kelnick, you would have thought it would be him. He's been struggling. Who would probably be the odd man out? Duvall. So what do you think they do as far as in that position opposite of where Soler plays in the corner?
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting decision for them to make. I think that we kind of know what the obvious options are. I mean, Jared Kelnick's not going anywhere, but you know, platoon for him, I think, would be helpful at this point. It's been a struggle in the second half for him, and really since the start of July. So, I mean, it's been going on for a while. It's not a small sample size. You know, he's an intense guy. He continues to work. Every once in a while, you see those flashes of things, but that's kind of been the story for Kelnick. I think he's made some progress this year, but I don't think he's there yet. And obviously, based on the numbers, it seems like he would probably benefit from, you know, being deployed in a more platoon-based fashion. So when you get past that, I think then you have to start looking at, all right, well, what have these other guys done? And the big question has been Adam Duvall. Adam Duvall has not been able to perform to the level that the Braves went out and hoped that he would, and he got pressed into duty the exact way that they had kind of had in mind. If we lose a starting outfielder, no matter who it is, do we have somebody that can step in? That insurance policy. Duvall is supposed to be that. Unfortunately, he hasn't been able to perform up to that level. So at this point of the year, it may just be a difficult decision where if you're not getting the production, you've kind of reached that point where you've got to go with the best available. And I know Ramon Laureano has had some adventures in the outfield, but offensively speaking, he's giving it a little bit more. And I think that could factor into this decision right now.
So it sort of feels, I mean, when Harris is activated and plays today, feels like Duvall is probably the odd man out. Is that what you're saying?
It could be, or they could option Eli White back to AAA. I mean, they do have that literal option there. So I'm just kind of
great
throwing it out
last
there
night
from the
by
scenario.
Him, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, that was, and I said this too, I mean, the only other Braves center fielder that could have made that play doesn't come off the IL for another day. So
right.
It was an incredible catch. It was a timely catch as well, thinking of the situation that the Braves were in there in the ninth inning. The last thing you want is another double or a triple that starts things out and makes this a much tougher ride and maybe a much different discussion that we're having today were it not for that catch by Eli White.
Hey, Grant, I heard you yesterday on with Dukes and Bell and talking about Charlie. You was basically saying, well, he had a bad one last time, so he had a good one this year. This obviously yesterday. Is this something maybe that we're just going to have to prepare ourselves for when Charlie goes up? The congratulations, 2,000 strikeout. That's a big damn deal. But, I mean, is that just one of the things where, you know, it's just Charlie. You got to take the good with the bad.
Yeah, I think that you do. And with most players, I mean, you have to. There are going to be a handful of starts for every starting pitcher, typically every year. I mean, unless somebody's having their, you know, career-defining season maybe, where you're just going to have some clunkers. You're going to give up some runs. You're going to give up some homers. You're not going to be able to command pitches. But with Charlie, unfortunately, it's felt like that Jekyll and Hyde thing has been a lot more prevalent since the start of July, especially. His first half, I felt like, was pretty good. I mean, yeah, there's a couple of bad ones mixed in there. But lately, it has been a good one, a bad one, a really good one, a really bad one. And that's just kind of where it is. But, you know, he's shown last night that he's capable of going out there against a team that's been playing some really good baseball, handcuffing him, shutting him down, being able to minimize damage, not compounding things with the walks. That's a huge thing for him every time. If he's commanding his pitches in a way that he's not giving out 2, 3, 4 free passes in a game or a couple in an inning, and then all of a sudden you hang a breaking ball and next thing you know, it's 2-0, 3-0, and you're trying to figure out what happened, and it can spiral on him. But, yeah, I think that this is just kind of where Charlie Morton is. You can expect some good ones. You have to prepare for a few bad ones. But overall, when you size up this rotation versus other rotations across baseball, if Charlie Morton's your fourth or fifth starter, I think you're dealing with some of the most first world of first world problems.
Grant McCauley joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, talking some Braves. Another one against the Giants tonight. Harris will be back. Michael Harris will be back tonight, which is awesome. Looking forward to seeing him back out there. Who's the next guy to come back?
Yeah, I think Ronaldo Lopez is next on that list. He had a rehab start with Gwinnett yesterday, crossed a 70-pitch plateau, 4 innings, gave up a handful of runs, but also picked up a few strikeouts. The radar gun readings were good on him, so it sounds like he did the things he needed to do to just prove to the Braves and himself that he's feeling healthy. And look, they need this guy to be healthy down the stretch. And we heard Brian Snitker talk about this after that debilitating loss on Sunday to the Rockies, in which you felt like you had that game in hand, and all of a sudden, as I've said many times, it just slipped right through their fingers. And when you started looking at some of the strategy that the Braves have employed, particularly in the second half as well, of, well, we need to get extra rest for this guy and extra rest for this guy, and all of a sudden you got into a weird place where, why is Bryce Elder starting more games than Chris Sale after the All-Star break? That's kind of an odd thing. And you just got to ride with the guys that you feel like can deliver for you way more times than not. You know, off days, that's one thing. Mixing in somebody every once in a while that helps out, that I think there's a case to be made, obviously, for that. But this whole trying to have 6, if not 7 different guys in rotation every time through, and I know some of it was a necessity when Max Fried went on the IL and Ronaldo followed, but still, going forward and projecting and hoping for health, I just don't think the Braves are in a position where they can really afford to do that anymore. You rested these guys to get them to this point with hopefully a little bit of extra gas in the tank. So I think you got to roll with those guys. And Brian Snitker pretty much laid that out in, you know, almost word for word in that postgame availability after that loss to the Rockies. You need your big horses to step up. Ronaldo's one of those horses.
What about this whole this catcher situation? I mean, Travis d'Arnaud last two games clutch, both winning game winning type situations. Grant, do you see down the stretch, because Sean Murphy is still struggling at the plate, more opportunities him instead of that usual rotation that they have?
No, not really. I think that it's going to be a pretty normal split. I mean, right now, if you look at it, especially over the last month or so, and since the All-Star break anyway, it's been more of a 50-50 split. So, I mean, to your point, maybe, if we're looking at it in the recency of what it has been. And I think that one of the reasons why, and it's pretty obvious, is this is a lineup that is starved for offense. If Travis d'Arnaud is swinging the bat well, you have to find ways to get him in the lineup more. Now, that being said, I think that Sean Murphy, the quality of his plate appearances has improved as the season has gone on. The full season numbers aren't there, but it does feel like he has figured a couple of things out. you know, since having to sit on the injured list for 2 months, that didn't help matters for him. This has really been a weird season, not a lost season for him, but one that's been full of challenges and setbacks, which might be the theme of the 2024 Atlanta Braves on the whole. Right. But, yeah, I think with Travis, I don't think of him as the traditional backup catcher that most clubs have, that it's, oh, well, he just catches this pitcher, and maybe he catches twice a week, and the other guy, you know, does all the rest of it. Is Sean Murphy capable of being that workhorse behind the plate? Yes. Does he want to be? I believe that he does. But he also understands the situation that you have with somebody with a lot more value than just your normal backup catcher in Travis d'Arnaud and what he means to the team and what he's capable of doing. So this is kind of a non-traditional timeshare. When it's going right, I expect there to be about 60 to 65% of it going to Sean Murphy as far as starts, and Travis d'Arnaud catching the other third of a time, maybe up to 40% of the time. And if he's hot, maybe more than that. I think that's what we're seeing right now.
Hey, Grant, if the season ended today, would Chris Sale win the Cy Young?
He should. I mean, the only other person I can think of that's got that resume that it can challenge him is Zach Wheeler. But I do think that Chris Sale, from pretty much any way you slice it statistically, to me is a cut above. And honestly, should have a couple of more wins than he does if that's the thing that you're really looking at and hanging your hat on, which
like
is
yesterday.
2024. Yeah. Pitcher wins, probably not it. But yeah, that's a great point. The 1-0 loss to the White Sox where he spun an absolute gem and got no offensive support.
Yeah.
Chris Sale could easily, in my mind, could be sitting on 16 or 17 wins right now. He has pitched that well.
No, it's true. It's funny, too, when you go back, not funny, but ironic, I guess, whatever you want to call it. A lot of the worst games, like the one you mentioned, the White Sox game, there was a Mets game earlier in the year, that the Braves have had, Chris Sale happened to have been on the mound. he's as good as he's been and as good as his record is, he's also gotten quite a bit of bad luck, which speaks how good he's been.
And not only that, I mean, you can also look at Chris Sale as having been, especially in the first half, I feel like there was a lot of, well, the Braves have lost two in a row. They need to stop this slide.
Yep.
Chris Sale
yep.
was the guy on the mound that next day. And that, I think, also speaks to, you know, how his resume is constructed. Is he's been an ace-level starter. He's been a stopper for them. He's just gone out there and delivered the kind of performance that when you think about Chris Sale, just like in general, like what is your overall impression of this guy? He's come out and delivered that time and time again for the Braves this year, and I think that's something they have to be extremely excited about in a season where a lot of their other plans didn't exactly, you know, come to fruition or didn't exactly go off the way that they would have liked them to. The acquisition of Chris Sale was a major, major positive for this club, and I think on the offensive side where we said, where would the Braves be without Marcelo Ozuna? Where would the Braves pitching staff be without Chris Sale?
Yes. Yeah. It's a great question, one that luckily we don't have to answer. Grant, thank you.
Present you, Mac.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Grant McCauley there, 92.9 The Game, Atlanta Braves insider, host of From the Diamond every single Wednesday at this time. And, yeah, if you look at the betting sites, Chris Sale is the odds-on favorite right now to win the NL Cy Young. That's pretty cool. If I would have told you that at the beginning of the year, you'd say, damn, the Braves are going to win 120 games this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't have told you all the other stuff that was going to happen, though. Well, here's all the bad news. The good news is Chris Sale's going to pitch like he was a White Sox again.
Dude, he's been outstanding.
The bad news is everybody's knees are going to explode.
He's been outstanding.
All right, we'll grab a break here. I do want to let you know this hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. We'll come back. We'll get to the back page with Bo. Randy, what is, if you had to think of off the top of your head, one of the things you'd least like to smell like?
What I would like to smell like?
The least.
The least?
Yeah.
Damn, I don't want to get in trouble.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got something that you probably would put on that list.
Oh, okay.
Coming up next.
I'm very interested in that.
Yeah.
Here's
what you don't want to smell like.
You know,
like.
I like being musty.
Nah, you want to smell good.
Yeah, I don't like being musty.
You want to smell good, not like a condiment. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day. There it is. Thanks for being with us. 20 minutes away from the big story of the day, kickoff to 1 o'clock hour. Get back into a little bit of college football, 120 as well. If you missed our conversation with Falcons corner Kevin King at the top of the noon hour, I would recommend checking it out.
Yeah, man.
Pretty good chat there with Kevin King.
Yeah, man. It's good to hear his story and everything like that. And like I said, we're rooting for him. Hopefully he gets an opportunity to make this team. But we were just talking to NFL News. Mark Andrews was in a wreck this morning, but the Baltimore Ravens, they released a statement, said he's fine, no serious injuries, and he didn't practice today because obviously the accident, but they said it was a scheduled day off anyways today and things like that. And I just saw Carson Beck graduated this summer. So congratulations, Carson.
So he's a grad student now?
I guess.
Cool.
Yeah, good for him, man.
Well done.
Good for him. All you got to do is go to, introductory to swimming.
Yeah, whatever it is.
And something like that.
What was Stetson doing at the end?
Stetson wasn't doing nothing.
Because he never graduated.
I know.
He still hasn't graduated.
Stetson wasn't doing nothing.
Which is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like, he's just taking one, like, something 101.
Yes. And like just sitting there.
Rocks for Jocks 101.
Something.
As a seventh-year senior.
And sitting there like, oh, let me hurry up, man.
Let me just get my C+ so I can stay on the field.
So I can stay on the damn football field.
Yeah, I don't know. People want to make a big deal of that.
I never made a big deal.
College was fun.
Yes.
Being a quarterback for the national championship team probably is even more fun than most of us had in college. Live it up, man.
Yeah. And you start quarterback for Georgia. But we were talking because I was like, where is this guy at? I kept saying, is Ryan Tannehill on somebody's team?
Is he?
No.
No.
He's not. I would have thought, and he seems like, and I saw yesterday, but I saw an article on him yesterday. He spoke about, they're saying that he could find a home pretty soon.
Yeah.
We talked about that Raiders situation yesterday.
Yep.
And then I know Abe was talking about the Chargers situation out there. And so I'm just like, yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense. It makes a whole lot of sense, Chargers, Raiders, for a guy like Ryan Tannehill. Because if you're telling me that Nathan Peterman.
Who has a job. As of yesterday.
Yes. And Ryan Tannehill don't?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
It's slightly different, right, though, because he's waiting for a job where he can play.
Yes.
Right? Like, Peterman's like, yes, please, anything.
Yeah. But
anything
that's
you
like,
got.
Is Ryan waiting? I mean, because if I would have, and this not in his control, would have probably preferred to go to Vegas early, you know, instead of going right now or another place. I can't think of somewhere else. But, yeah, I would have preferred to go now. And so I could maybe get in this competition.
Yeah. Or maybe you wait for a guy to get hurt.
Right.
And then you go fill in and however long he's going to be out for, like you're talking about with the Chargers and all that. Yeah, I don't know. The amount of guys that are employed, it makes it surprised that he's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, makes it surprised that he's not. Speaking of quarterbacks that play for the Tennessee Titans, let's get to the Bo Johnson doesn't, but he's got a story about a guy that does. Let's get to the back page with Bo.
Bringing you the stories that didn't make the cut anywhere else in the show. It's the back page with Bo Johnson on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Every day at this time, the back page with Bo. Hello, Bo.
Well, gentlemen, they say that life imitates art. And by art, I mean the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. And by life, I mean less than a week after we discuss for two consecutive days women proposing to men and how this whole thing is executed. Gilbert Arenas' longtime girlfriend Melly Monaco proposes to Gilbert in a nightclub with a ring and everything. You can check the whole thing out on IG. Yes. So Gilbert actually proposed to his wife in Paris on the Eiffel Tower like a few months ago. She decided to return the favor. Buys Gilbert Arenas a ring and proposes to him on Instagram. And at some nightclub over the weekend. And so, yes, it does appear that men do get engagement rings.
Oh,
okay.
Well, oh, yeah, engaged with an engagement ring.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean.
Good.
It's a pretty tight-looking ring, too, not going to lie.
I mean, hell yeah. Good for Gil. Didn't Gil try, like, trick his old girl into like a fake ring that looked like the new ring but didn't cost as much as the old ring?
Sounds like something Gil would do.
But I mean, yeah, there's this new thing, and you know me and Bo, I'm all about the newness of life. I don't participate in it, but I'm all about the newness in life of how people want to do their life and live their life. So good for them, good for Gil. I still laugh at Gil because I'm like Gil got to be connected to something, dog. He got some
for what he gets away with?
Yeah, he got some big bodyguards, something for the stuff he be talking about people.
Gil said on IG in relation to this, he posted the ring, and she surprised me with a ring, got me feeling like a baddie.
Like a baddie.
There
is that
go.
A term that dudes are supposed to use?
Got me feeling like a baddie.
All right. There you go, Gil. There we go. Changing the game. Dudes getting engagement rings now. It's all right.
I didn't know the dudes were hashtag baddies either. Okay.
It's the newness of life. Like
the
Randy
newness
said,
of life, man.
Anybody can be anything.
Yeah, man.
And sometimes,
it's not me.
imitate art, the art's really foul. So Will Levis, who had a slight claim to fame by putting Hellman's mayonnaise in his coffee and also by that earning a lifetime supply of Hellman's mayonnaise, has now gotten with Hellman's to release mayonnaise smelling or flavored. Get it now at your
Walmart.
Mayonnaise
it sounds like where they'd sell it. If they're going to have mayonnaise flavored cologne, that's where they'd sell it.
Look, this is what it's supposed to smell like. It's supposed to have notes of lemon, coffee, musk, vanilla, and of course mayonnaise. Is all
okay, vanilla, I guess.
I don't like musk. Okay, I don't care.
No, you're thinking must. Is different.
They're all the same to me. I don't say musty. We don't say musty. We say musky.
You do?
Yeah, that's the country. Okay. We call it musky. Okay. So that's why I claim
okay.
I ain't never said, boy, you musty. I always say, boy, you over there musky.
Oh, really?
All right. Yeah, I say musky.
Good. Yeah. I didn't know.
I get it. Now, again, learn something new every day. Musty.
Because, I think that's musky. Actually a word in the dictionary or not, but I think. Musty is smelling bad. Musk, I don't know what that means exactly.
I don't want to smell musk.
But, like, you have a musk.
I know. I said
everyone has a musk.
My wife loves my band Musk.
Exactly,
right? That's fine. I know what that means, but I thought it was an odor.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, but.
No, not Elon
not
Musk,
saying it's
Google.
A good musk, though. You know
I think there can be a good musk.
Yes. I got good musk, Andy.
Yeah.
All right. Because there's a difference between.
Musk, according to Google, is a warm, subtle scent. Defined by a complex range of powdery, sweet, woodsy, and earthy aromas.
That don't sound like me.
It doesn't sound like mayonnaise either.
No, I didn't see mayonnaise in there anywhere. Like, I like mayonnaise on sandwiches.
I do too.
I'm a fan of mayonnaise on my sandwich.
Yes.
There's a lot of things I like that I don't want to smell like.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And mayonnaise is definitely
I bet he don't even use it.
Probably not.
I bet he don't even
Who are you going to attract smelling like mayonnaise?
Oh, man. Who would?
Well, probably the type that likes big sandwiches.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like
those big old sandwich-eating ones.
Yeah,
Which is
there's nothing wrong with it, man. Yeah, shorty at the spot buying 3 foot long.
Yeah.
What is that fragrance you're wearing?
You smell, wow, you
let me get a cold cut trio.
You smell like a hoagie.
Yeah, let me get a. She be in that thing. Let me get a cold cut trio. Let me get the chicken tender barbecue.
And him.
Yes. that's the one.
Way to go, Will.
So if y'all were gonna make a cologne out of a condiment, would y'all wear any flavored condiment like mustard? I would probably wear a mustard flavored cologne, maybe, I guess. I don't know.
Mustard smells worse than mayonnaise.
Mustard's a strong smell. Strong smell. I don't know.
Texas
relish?
Hot sauce.
Barbecue sauce?
like a smoky barbecue.
Yeah, Texas Pete hot sauce
like
or something.
That.
Yeah. Like
again, you're running the risk of attracting a lot of wildlife.
You know what I mean?
You know what I mean?
Like, babe, would you get tartar sauce?
If I smelled like barbecue.
Like, they would think you work at a barbecue pit.
Which I like after you get done grilling for a while, you smell like the smoke of the grill.
That's true.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
That's true.
I like that. Maybe that's what it is. You get a cologne that smells like you're a pit boss.
What an idiot.
Pit boss cologne. They're paying him for it, whatever.
So, Andy, have you ever played hooky to go play golf? Maybe you have.
Yeah.
So, I don't think that I've ever skipped work to go play golf, and I especially have never had my boss help me skip work to go play golf. Jeff Francoeur was on Carl Ravitch's podcast yesterday. Tells a pretty funny story of how Bobby Cox actually covered for him.
Who's this person he's talking about?
Jeff Francoeur.
Unfamiliar.
Oh, that guy. Yeah.
Yes.
Thou name that we shall not mention. Had Bobby Cox help him go play golf with none other than Tiger Woods.
The coolest Bobby Cox story is, guys, is Bobby during spring training loved us to play golf. Loved this. We were playing the Yankees at 1 o'clock on a day game. And I was 22 years old. I'd been playing for 3 months as a starter. I was not going to go up to Bobby and be like, hey, I need the day off, right? But he comes out to stretch and goes, Smoltzy said you had a chance to play with Tiger today. There was a 150 tee time. And I'm like, Bobby, I'm fine. Like, I'm playing today. He goes, no, I'll make you a deal. He said, after your first at bat today, run through first base and kind of rub your ankle a little bit like you hurt your ankle. And he's like, in 2 days, we're going to Bradenton. And you know, Tim, you have to have whatever three starters make a road trip.
Sure.
And he's like, I hate Bradenton's infield. I don't want to get any of the guys hurt. So if you go to Bradenton, I'll let you go play with Tiger today. So sure enough, man, we're playing the Yankees. 12, 13,000 people in Orlando. I ground out the first about. I run through first. I start, you know, rubbing my ankle. And, you know, Bobby, he waddles out there with his cleats and he checks on me. I run inside. I literally throw my golf clothes on. I didn't shower. I get to the golf course and they're on the first fairway. So I hit my tee shot. We end up playing 27 holes. And about 4:30, my wife sends me a little thing that there was an update that said Frank Court day to day with a high ankle.
Buster Olney's podcast, actually. My
God, that's a great story.
Yeah. When I play hooky like that, I mean, if you had a manager that would let you do it, yeah.
Now, I didn't – when I read the headline after I was done being jealous, I was like – I didn't realize it was a spring training game. So that makes it like a little different.
Right.
He didn't let him ditch out on a regular season game.
He probably wouldn't
Wouldn't have done that, but no, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, Doc, because you know me, like I tried to get you to go play this year in the
– I know.
Yeah, in the
– the media thing.
The media thing.
But unfortunately, like, they didn't have it.
Yeah, I was like – you're like, well –
maybe
like,
that's why
I'm like, I don't care, man. Throw Fricky in here. Let Andy go play damn golf.
Maybe that's why the tournament is a little bit later, because they're still like, I bet they're doing last minute stuff because they totally renovated Eastlake.
Yeah,
year over year.
I'm still in my feelings about this, so let's not talk about that.
I know.
Yeah, I'm still in my feelings about it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay. It's all right.
All right. Thanks, Bo. Now we're both feeling good. Yeah. Everybody's happy. We'll come back. We'll get to the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.